Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Bonhomme sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation of Bonhomme Sports Talk. I am your Indilly Center host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt, how you doing? You're a little distracted running through your intro there, it sounds like.
I got a lot going on in this household. This is over the past 6 months, it seems like every night my kid's bedtime gets pushed 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later.
Yep.
So that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's what you have to do is just change the clocks.
Oh, is that the key?
Yeah, and then you tell them, oh, it's 7:30 when really it's 8:30 or whatever, other way around. It's 8:30 when it's 7:30.
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember what the real time is, but you got little kids. They won't know the difference.
Yeah, that might get complicated, like getting out the door for school and stuff. But yeah, I'll take that in consideration. Well, now...
No, you're going to have to adjust it, like, after they go to bed, put it back to normal time. When they get home at school, push it back. You got to adjust.
Well, really, the main problem now, honestly, is these baseball games. Casas stays up. You know, usually we start the bedroom routine at 7. Now we got to start the bedroom routine at 8.
Gotcha.
He wants to stay up and watch a few innings, and I want to watch a few innings with him.
Right.
So... It's just
right. And when it's a good game, when the Orioles are on fire, it's like, I don't want to go to bed, Dad. I want to see Kowser's fifth home run.
And I don't want to put him to bed. Right. So we're on the same page there. Yeah.
I get it. I thought you were talking about Little League baseball games, because I do have a problem with Little League baseball games where they are scheduling them like too late at night for 10-year-olds.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion.
I completely agree. We have two games. The second game starts at 7:15. And so best case scenario, we're out of there at 8:30.
Okay, and that's my complaint too. Is we have games at 7. Best case, we're out of there at 8:30.
Yeah,
and I think that's too late.
And so Sass, who normally goes to bed at 7:30, now we're looking at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. And I'm looking at half hour home. You're all dirty and sweaty. You got to take a shower. You're in bed at 9:30.
Yeah. I'm with
right
you there.
With you.
Yeah. All right. That's so dad life right there.
Yeah. Has that been your how's your weekend been? I know we got lots of Orioles to talk because there's been good and bad in the past week.
Yeah, no, we had a really good weekend. It was beautiful weather here in Macon, Georgia. So we went out. They have such great outside places here in Macon, too. We went out with the kids to a couple of different places. So we had practice on Saturday morning, and I had a good, like, 7 kids show up. So that was the most we ever had for practice. So, yeah, it's been good. Been good over here.
That's good. I noticed you've got some new glasses. And I appreciate that your new glasses have little white lines on the side right where you would tape them if you break them. Was that pre-planned so that way if you break them in the future, you can put some tape on there and no one will notice the difference?
No, they're cool. I got them from this website called Zenni, which is great. I got a great deal. I can't beat this deal.
Right.
The problem is, though, Zenni's all over the ads. So now every time I go to any website, I see Zenni everywhere I go.
Yes.
Well, that's my downside.
That's anything you buy off the internet.
Okay.
Because
I don't buy very much stuff on the internet. And
I made a purchase
everywhere.
Off the internet last week as well.
Okay.
Because I decided I'm going to pick up a new hobby.
All right. What's your new hobby?
I've decided that I'm 44 years old and it's not too old to learn to skateboard.
Skateboard?
So I got, do you know what a one wheel is?
I don't.
I.
Is that what Darren O'Day was riding around?
No, I think that's a solo wheel.
Okay. Sounds similar to a one wheel.
So I got something called a one wheel, and it's like a skateboard, like this.
Okay. Yeah. No. That was. Oh, that's what O'Day was rocking. Yeah.
Is it?
It's a solo wheel. Yeah.
All right. I don't know, but it is a motorized skateboard that just has one wheel in the middle, and you have to balance and steer like a skateboard and all.
Okay.
So I picked one up last week, and I am now 44 years old. Going outside every day to teach myself how to ride this thing.
I think you were supposed to get like an electric bike. I think that's what people are doing. Getting like electric bikes, not the one wheel.
All right. When I look around the neighborhood, It's the electric scooter is what most people my age are getting.
Oh, really? Over the bike?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of the scooters. I think because they just fit in the back seat of the car or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And they can put the little kids on there to pick them up from the bus stop.
You can put kids on the scooter?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, like, my wife got a scooter, but I decided, no, I think these things are cool. I've always wanted to try one of these. I'm going to get this one wheel thing.
All right.
So I've been teaching myself. First day I got it out, I had a big crash, smashed into the ground.
Are you all geared up? You got the helmet, the elbow?
No, nothing at all.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
Okay. That's how you guys roll.
So
far,
I got a little banged up on that first day, but now I'm like 3 days in, and today I rode it around, I don't know, maybe 2 miles, went around the neighborhood. No issues. I got up to speed. I got up to like the 19 kilometers per hour, it said. I'm moving pretty fast on it.
It sounds fast.
How to change it to miles per hour versus
kilometers. Yeah, I don't know what that means. That sounds fast.
But I've got it. I'm able to turn. I'm able to go up and down. I'm moving pretty good on it now. But I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty happy with myself as 44 years old, teaching myself how to balance on this thing.
Yeah, good for you. That thing might kill you, but in the meantime, have a good time.
Yeah. No, I see videos and there's people like taking them like through woods and on the beach and jumps and all this stuff. I'm just trying to ride it to the mailbox.
Yeah.
That was today. I successfully rode it to the mailbox and back, and I was happy with myself.
Yeah. I've been noticing
if
I sit for more than 10 minutes and I stand up, my back really hurts. But I'm glad you're into that solo wheel. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like a whole midlife crisis thing or whatever, but I've decided I need to get outside more. I need to do more, not necessarily exercise, but just enjoy the outdoors. So this is my attempt.
And it's cheaper than a Corvette. So
we've been playing pickleball, and that's like it's at the entrance of the community, and I'm tired of driving the car all the way up there. So this way, Kelly and I can just go up there. She's on her scooter. I'm on my one wheel, and we ride up to play pickleball.
That's cool.
So or go to the pool or whatever. So we were getting this down, and I can't wait to try to put you on this next weekend when you're down here.
Yeah, not likely. But no, I give it a try. I'll jump on there and ride it around.
Have you ever tried to get on one of those hoverboard things the kids do?
No, never have.
I've almost killed myself so many times trying. I can't do it. But I have been able to do this thing.
All right. So. No surfing? I thought maybe surfing. You go the surfing route down there in Florida.
This is supposed to be like snowboarding.
So maybe that's the next step, surfing?
They say this is just like snowboarding. Have you ever snowboarded?
No, just skied.
All right, I have like once or twice.
Okay.
And I never took lessons. I just fell down the hill a bunch until, eventually I'm not falling as much this time.
Yeah. I could never, even in skiing, figure out how to turn or slow down. So I would just go straight downhill until I was going so fast that I thought I'd die. Then I'd fall over on purpose, get up and do it again, and do that the entire way down the hill.
Yeah, but
that was my skiing technique.
And my snowboarding technique was to fall until eventually, I've got this. I'm going down the hill and not falling, and then I fall.
Yeah.
But when you do that, you're at least in winter gear. You're padded up. You're landed on snow.
You land on snow. Yeah, sure.
You got the adrenaline here. When I fall, I land on sidewalk. I felt real bad, and my goal was just, please land in the grass, land in the grass, land in the grass. And
I think you should invest in some knee pads and elbow pads. Your body will thank you. Maybe even the catcher's gear. Maybe throw on some catcher's gear.
I have,
as you go on the solo wheel.
I have been watching videos, and there's a lot of beginner videos where the people are all padded up, like those old how was the show? Like Jackass, where they're all wrapped up in the bubble wrap.
Yeah, I was thinking like when you see those dog training videos or something, right? Where they're training those attack dogs.
You're right. The attack dog suits.
Yeah.
Then people are wearing things like that. But no, I've been good. I think I've got it down. I'm sure I'm going to fall again. Hopefully I don't pull a Zany Burt Roadie and break my leg. But at least it won't be doing something silly like roller skating.
Yeah, you can hurt doing anything. So as the Zany want to show us. I hope Jackson Holiday is not doing a solo wheel. I wanted to be too smart with his career ahead of him.
No, I mean, if you want to use that to transition to the Orioles, no. I think the Orioles are young, and they're in a lot better shape than me.
Though the way Jackson Holiday swings the bat doesn't seem sometimes where he's standing on a solo wheel in the batter's box, swinging and missing. Are you ready to send Jackson Holiday down, Josh? Only one hit.
No. He was 0-13, I believe, before that first hit. Yeah. And you could see him pressing before that hit, where he was trying to hit anything. No, I'm not worried about Jackson Holliday.
Okay, you're going to throw out some stat about Cal Ripken or Ryan Sandberg in their rookie year?
No, but I'll tell you this. We saw Gunnar Henderson struggle for a month and a half last year, and then he won Rookie of the Year. So I'm not concerned.
Hey, speaking of Rookie of the Year, and I have a theory about Jackson Holliday, but Colton Cowser shot up the Rookie of the Year if you're trying to get some money on that.
Yeah. What's that, four home runs in four games?
AL Player of the Week this past week. Not too shabby for a rookie.
Yeah. I think he's a little cool today.
Yeah. But Josh, if I was a betting man, I'm not. Now is when I would then take and put all my money on Jackson Holliday. He's going to win Rookie of the Year.
I still think he's got to be the favorite.
Well, he's not. He's dropped way down. And like Colton Cowser is higher than him now.
Really?
I think he's insane. I think I
put money preseason on Jackson Holliday, but I would, definitely.
Yeah, go back and double down, Josh. Go back and double down right now. Look at the numbers and go back and double down. Because, I think all of Birdland has watched every at bat. And I think what happened was, and I saw on Twitter only one person being all over this, and Derek Arnold, Utah Street Report, was all over this. I think he's exactly right, that what happened with Jackson Holliday in his first 13 at-bats is that boy Jackson Holliday was getting pitched to. And this was a combination of, like, other pitchers being amped up to pitch against Jackson Holliday, right? Like, you don't want to be the guy who gives up the first hit to Jackson Holliday. And then it's partly that. Because this guy's getting so much hype, and that pumps you up as the opposing pitcher.
Right. You want to prove the hype wrong.
Yeah. But then just look at what he was thrown, and Utah Street Report has been throwing kind of the whatever you call it, the MLB at bat apps with the pitches. Every pitch is dotting the outside. There's been not a single, it's almost like he hasn't gotten a single pitch that has been in the middle of the strike zone, like a good hittable pitch. So I think he just ran into a streak where pitchers were just pitching their butts off against Jackson Holliday and not making any mistakes. And I don't think that, like, I think we all, and this is like a larger point I want to make about the Brewers series, because I saw so many people kind of down on the Orioles because of the Brewers series. And I'm like, what are you guys smoking? Yeah, you got to give the other team credit. I mean, they were getting homers off Corbin Burns. I mean, you have to give the other team credit, and they came in really hot, and they played really well. And I think the same thing is true with Jackson Holliday. We focus more on his 0-for-13, where I think the case is more, man, these pitchers pitched their butts off to Jackson Holliday.
Yes.
But Jackson Holliday, in my mind, is still what happened in those past five games, those 13 at-bats or whatever, means nothing to me. I still think the same I thought of Jackson Holliday. I still think he should be the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year. If I was a betting man, I'd put my money on Jackson Holliday because he's that freaking good. He just ran into a bunch of pitchers pitching really well to him.
Is it fair? I totally agree with you with Jackson Holliday. But real quick, about the Brewers, I cannot remember the last time I've seen a team as cocky as the Brewers.
Yeah, what's up with that? It's the Brewers.
And
what are they cocky about?
We're like 12 games into the season, and they've already had two bench clears, one with us, one with the Mets.
Yeah, and I was Team Brewers on that one with the Mets, but that Hoskins seemed like a jerk. William Contreras, what was William Contreras doing?
The dancing around third base,
first inning,
and then like a salute on home plate.
Yeah, it was first inning. It was 1-0.
Yes.
And then they showed the dugout, and they're celebrating like they won the freaking World Series in the first inning, 1-0.
Yes.
A game they went on to lose, mind you. So act like you've been there before, Brewers, which is sad to say because I like two of their players a lot.
DL Hall and Ortiz.
And Joey Ortiz. Yeah, I like those players a lot.
Seeing Joey Ortiz play really good against us.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it. I root for them to play well, even against us. I root for us to win, but I root for Joey Ortiz to play well. I hope he makes us regret trading him away. And I root for DL Hall, who struggled a little bit. I root for DL Hall. I hope he's able to figure out this year and become a starter.
I would love for DL Hall to be a starter.
Yeah, those are two guys we're rooting hard for. But that Brewers team, I don't know what their deal is. But they...
Right, I don't know. Is there a bunch of Milwaukee hate and like that I've been missing that they think like they've got this cocky attitude that it's like them against the world?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're mad because their GM trades away their best players. I don't know. but yeah, they got a bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And it was a fun series. And they have Gary Sanchez and Kerry Sanchez, just from what a jerk he is.
Yeah.
And we never know, by the way, no one ever found out why.
No one, they won't say.
The bench is cleared, which is funny too.
No, McCann wouldn't say, and the other guy said it was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, but they were pretty fired up at the moment.
I love when bench is clear, how the bullpens run side by side. Like, we're going to run all the way out there, but we could have our own fight out here in the outfield. But no, we're just going to run out there to watch.
Yeah, they're just getting the cardio in. And yeah, it's not. And that there's not enough history between Brewers, I think, and Orioles to get really heated.
No.
But Brewers, I'm telling you right now, the over-under, what's the over? I guess you can bet on the amount of brawls. Oh, put the six. Over or under. What do you think, is six?
Six.
I was going to say five for the Brewers because they're going to get in some brouhahas throughout the season just the way they play.
How many does it take for them to get a warning from like Major League Baseball to be like, hey, you guys got to settle this down?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about what was the deal with that. And the other one against the Mets, I thought they were in the right. I thought the McDaniel guy was a little bit. If we're still doing Strawberry of the Week, that second baseman, what was his name? Jeff McDaniel, whatever his name is. He was the Strawberry of the Week for complaining about being slid in too hard. That was a Strawberry move.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was Team Brewers. And then they came here. Jeff McNeil, yeah, he was the Strawberry of the Week.
But then
they came here. I'm like, oh, they're kind of jerks.
Yeah, you saw them here.
Yeah, Reese Hoskins, he's a punk. And Contreras is a punk.
Like, I know the Orioles celebrate with the Homer hose and the hydration station now and all that, but it's all in fun joy. It's not a jerk rubbing it in the other person's face.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kids having fun.
Yeah, it doesn't seem directed at the other team.
Right.
Like with Contreras, it felt directed at us. But
correct.
Maybe I was just mad we lost 2 out of 3, but we avoided the sweep, so the regular season sweepless streak is still on.
Right. Even if you got to put the star on that for the regular season.
Yeah.
Thanks to those Rangers.
Yeah.
But so we talked about Jackson Holliday. I'm not concerned at all about Jackson Holliday, and you're not either. He had that play where Adley threw it down to him and he should have gotten the tag down and he didn't. Like, that stuff happens. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all either.
Holiday's 0-for-4 tonight. Again, not concerned. It'll work out.
Yeah. All that says to me is you can buy more Holiday stock. Every time he goes 0-for-4,
right,
you get a little bit better value on the Rookie of the Year.
And we've proven enough, we know enough, that at some point he's going to get comfortable in there. And when he's comfortable in there, he's going to go on a streak.
Yeah, he's going to go off. And I mean, I remember people talking about Gardner Henderson last year. It's the same thing. First half, what's going on? Ends up winning Rookie of the Year. So,
right.
I don't think it's going to be a first half thing. I think it's going to be any day now. Holiday's going to start blowing up.
All right, well, let's talk about the other rookie. Colton Cowser.
What a week, dude.
He had an amazing week. Do you think that continues for the season?
No.
Do you think it picks up at all, or do you think he comes back down to earth?
Do I think that Colton Cowser will hit over 400 and have whatever it is, 100 home runs?
Yes.
I do not think he'll hit over 400 and have 100 home runs.
Okay. What's realistic expectations for Colton Cowser?
Yeah, it was interesting. They even moved him up in the lineup after a couple of good games, and I don't usually see Hyde be that reactionary. Another interesting to watch is, will Cowser play against left-hand pitching? When he's this hot, he's almost got to play against everybody. But throughout the season, how much will he actually see against left-handed pitching? But certainly he has made the case that he should be the everyday left fielder, which can be a little awkward when you have another everyday left fielder on the squad. But so that's going to be interesting how Hyder juggles that.
And to make it more awkward, Austin Hayes has an option left. So you could technically demote Austin Hayes to Norfolk. But is it awkward? At what point is it you're too much of a veteran for me to send you down to Norfolk?
Yeah, it almost seems like you would have to couch it as like a rehab or something. Like, let him tweak something and you're going down for the full month rehab or something.
That's what I was trying to think about this, and I could not come up with another situation like this where we had a player who was a veteran who was really struggling, so we sent him down there. And the only
you want to count Brian Baker?
No.
Okay.
No. No. And the only thing I could think of was a guy like sending Tyler Wells down last year because he was just worn out. You have to have some type of injury, some type of excuse to get him.
I mean,
out of
we
line.
Saw this with what is it, Alex Manoah with the Blue Jays last year, who really struggled and they were sent down. But then again, that was really also being out of shape.
Right.
I don't know. I think, Josh, and maybe we can revisit this, but for now, this Austin Hayes discussion...
It's being blown up. Because he's still...
39 at-bats. Like, what are we talking about here? 39 at-bats.
Right. And he's still playing great defense.
Yeah.
So, no.
He's always been a streaky hitter. It's like today, people complaining about Cole Irvin, who threw 4 2/3 and gave up 2 runs or something. And people are complaining that he's giving up bat in practice. So everybody wants him to be Corbin Burns. Everybody wants Austin Hayes to be, you know.
Well, and that's
these superstars.
Say.
And you have role players, you have good players, you have great players. Everyone doesn't have to be elite, right? Everyone doesn't have to be Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman. You have role players too, and that's okay.
You're right. And everyone's streaky.
Yeah,
Cedric Mullins had a real slow start. Now he's starting to bring it together. He's putting it together. Defensively, he's been outstanding the entire season. The catch he made today is unbelievable. And he does those every few weeks, it seems.
Yeah. How come no one's talking that Santander is that 180? Does no one talk about that?
Right. Well, I think the problem is that Colton Cowser just went to the moon. That he came in and played left field and just had himself a week. And that makes it look rougher on... Austin Hayes. But you're right. Santander, he's gotten a few home runs, but that's really the difference.
Yeah. Wait, here's what you have to ask yourself about Austin Hayes, about Ramon Arias, about Jorge Mateo. As we become a better team...
I forgot Ramon Arias is on the team.
Yeah, as we become a better team and we fill this roster with better players, these everyday players, Austin Hayes, Ramon Arias, Jorge Mateo, are going to transition into being, I think, in Hayes, maybe like a platoon situation, only playing his lefties. And in Mateo, same position, only playing his lefties. Ramon Arias, playing when someone needs a day off.
Right.
These are no longer, no longer everyday players. Even if Austin Hayes was playing well, this is not even like because Austin Hayes had a bad couple weeks. Even if Austin Hayes is playing well, just because we have Santander and Mullins and Cowser, like, just there's not enough playing time for everyone to play every day. There's not enough positions. Right. And so he has to transition to a role player. Now, can Austin Hayes do that? I think we have to find out.
Yes, because it's like Urias, I forgot he was on the team because Westbrook has proven that Westbrook's an everyday player.
Yeah, Westbrook
hits the ball hard all the time. And hitting the ball hard.
He just hits it hard. Yeah.
So, and he's clutch. Somehow he's great in clutch situations, which means that's less playing time for Urias. If Cowser continues the way he's been doing it, that hurts playing time for Hayes. When you've got Kerstead still crushing the ball down to Norfolk, that puts pressure on Hayes. It's a tough situation for these veterans if you're not struggling, even in that small sample size of 40 plate appearances. When everyone else has that same small sample side and the future's looking bright.
Yeah. And that's also why, honestly, I don't think the Kerstedt, Mayo, Norby, Stowers, I don't see them being caught up anytime soon. Cause even if you say, okay, I think Kerstedt's a little bit better than Hayes right now in their careers, but do you want Kerstedt being this platoon guy playing once, you know, a couple times a week? I don't think you want Kerstedt in that role. You want him playing every day to get the reps. And so I don't see a path forward for any of those guys right now. There's no spot for Mayo. There's no spot for Kerstedt. There's just not right now.
No, not without injury.
Right, right.
And when you look at a guy like Hayes versus Kerstedt, it's like, well, who do I want in a platoon spot? Who do I want in the, as a late inning defensive replacement? You want Hayes in those defensive situations.
And Droner, if you need it. Yeah, Hayes.
And you're like, all right, so Kerstedt might get me a couple of knocks, but don't I have enough power in my lineup already?
That it looks like it this year. Man, we're crushing the ball.
That I can step back that power and allow a few guys to be in this lineup, not for their power, but for their defense on the field. And I think people really like to take defense for granted and think that anyone can play these positions. And you just have to worry about the bats and line up based on bats. And I think it is. I think it's important to have Hayes and Mullins in this left field, center field, especially for home games. I think, where's Kowser playing tonight?
But Hayes is in the game, right? So Hayes
right.
is playing left.
So
because Santander is not playing. So
he's in right field. And the other day he was in right field, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
And Santander was DHing.
DHing, yeah.
Because I don't think you want Kowser in left field in Camden Yards. I'd have to look up to see if they
You do. He was playing center field the other day.
Oh, you're right. Never mind. Kerstedt, you don't want in left field.
Right. Kerstedt, you don't want in left
field. Kowser, you're right. Kowser can play center field.
Yeah. Or left field. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. If you're at home, center and left is the same position. You need a guy with lots of range and a good arm.
Yeah. You know, if you just look, and you mentioned the offense, I mean, this lineup from batter one to batter nine, like they all hit the ball hard. Like this is wild. And we knew this was coming. This has been a slow evolving process for the past, 3 years, but it's here. And when Westberg is playing third and Holiday is second, and you add O'Hearn and Mountcastle and Gunner, and then whoever you want in the outfield, I mean, there is not a spot where guys don't hit the ball hard. Like there's just not a spot in this lineup. You get to the bottom line and you think, oh, let me breathe at the bottom of this lineup when I can place guys like Westberg and Kowser. I can breathe now. No, you can't, because they crushed the ball too. We have guys from top and Mullins. I mean, we have guys from the top to the bottom, and we're just such a balanced lineup at this point that I feel like it doesn't matter if our 2, 3, 4 guys are coming up in the next inning or 6, 7, 8. Like, I have no difference of feelings, right? Where in years past, I'd be like, oh, 6, 7, 8 coming up. All right, let's see if we can roll the lineup over for the next inning. Now I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, this 6, 7, 8 can score runs just as easily as the 1, 2, 3. It's just such incredible balance in this lineup right now. It's pretty amazing. We're gonna score a lot of runs.
And I'm not concerned at this point about the fact that we lost some frustrating games. Like, it wasn't a great week. We lost games that we should have won. And then we lost games that on paper you would think we would win.
I mean, we got beat pretty handily by
the Brewers.
By the Brewers 2 out of 3, yeah.
Yes. Well, yes. And our pitching performed poorly. But then we crushed Boston. So that was all positives.
Yeah.
And then in Pittsburgh, those games were tough. Like, we'd lost 2 out of 3, but they were tough losses.
Yeah. You probably maybe one got away. Sure.
Yes. So I'm not worried about any of that.
No, but you're sitting here with a winning percentage of 600. I'm not worried about it. I think some of the teams we've faced have been better than we maybe initially thought they would be. Like, I think the Brewers, the Pirates, even the Red Sox, all fun under better than we thought.
Did you share with me, or did I read it online, about the stat that the teams we've played have like a record that like projects to like 101, 105 wins or something for the season?
Yeah.
Total. And we're projected with that same, that we'd get like 91 wins if we played this team and had this record at the end. Like, there's nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the Red Sox 9-8, the Royals 10-6. That's who we played. The Angels, I know everyone said would be a dumpster fire, but they're 7-8, and they just recently dropped under .500. The Brewers are 10-4. The Pirates are 11-5. So we're just playing teams who are off to really good starts.
Yep.
And yet you look up and we're 9-6 in second in the AL East. And do I think the Yankees are going to win the AL East? I don't. I like, give me my roster against the Yankees roster. And I like it. And I think the thing also we have going for us, Josh, that these other teams don't, is we have just such incredible depth. Maybe not in starting pitching, maybe not in bullpen. I think there's maybe some concern there. But then again, you could argue we're rolling 1-5 here and we got reinforcements on the way in Means and Bradish.
We've got Means at Norfolk now rehabbing. We got Bradish, tomorrow starting? Later this week, starting in Bowie for rehab.
So, Perez, too. Perez.
Yeah,
it should be coming back soon.
So to say we don't have reinforcements, we do.
Yeah. I just think if you look at some of the I don't want to upset On the Verge people, but if you look at some of the ERAs on some of the pitchers in AAA.
But what about Povich?
Yeah, no, he's been pitching really well. He's been the one guy that's been pitching really well.
Yes, besides that, the reserves are guys that were hurt that are coming back.
Yeah. But then, like that, again, if assuming health, and I'm skeptical of both Means and Bradish.
I know. You will not count those guys as depth until they're back here in Baltimore pitching well.
Yeah. It's good to see Dylan Tate out there, though. Because I was just thinking about Dylan Tate as a guy who everyone expected to come back last year and never did the whole year. And so I think that could happen with Bradish or Means or both. So we'll see. I mean, we see across baseball all these arm injuries. But once Means comes up, once Bradish comes up, it allows you to get, like, I think Cole Irvin and Tyler Wells, right, are the two guys that are obvious going to be the two guys. Who get replaced. But also, I think that strengthens your bullpen. I think at this point, we're starting to see enough of a track record that maybe Tyler Wells and Cole Irvin are better in bullpen roles. And so that's fine. Because then, if Bradish and Means can come back, they can slide into probably where their strength is, and that is in bullpen roles. And so I think that's all well and good. And so, but in the meantime, there's no need to panic because we're 9-6 and we won a game. And I know Cole Irvin didn't get the win because he came out after 4 2/3 inning. Hyder can't get him in there for the extra out to get the win, but he gave us an opportunity to win.
I thought you need 6 wins. Or no, you need 5 innings. You're right.
Right.
5 innings to get the win, 6 for a quality start.
Right. Yeah. So he's an out away from getting a chance to win the game, but that's fine. He pitched well enough to get us to the bullpen
and
to do it. And we need our
starter, that's all we want from him is keep us in the ball game. That's all we're asking.
Right. And be that fifth starter for however long we need you to, because I don't think he's going to be there in July as the fifth starter.
No, he's going to be in the pen.
Right. And so just kind of bridge this gap until we get our pitchers healthy. So I think that's fine. Again, you need these kind of role players, you need these innings eaters, whatever you want to call them, but you need those guys too, along with the Corbin Burns.
Yep, I totally agree. And this team is just fun to watch.
Yeah. Can I also go real quick about the Austin Hayes thing?
All right, back to Austin Hayes.
I didn't witness this. I saw people talking about this. There was some mentioning about him being booed. And I just want to lay this out, that I am pro boo. I have booed Oriole players before.
Okay,
I know some people out there don't believe in booing your team. I respect that position. I disagree.
But I know you wouldn't. But Austin Hayes has not reached a point to be booed by you.
There's 3 factors that go into booing somebody. And Oriole fans, you have to know when to boo, and you have to meet these 3 requirements before you can boo a player, okay? The first requirement is you have to be really bad, okay? And so maybe Austin Hayes falls into that, been really bad. Maybe.
No, because defensively he's been holding his own.
Okay. The second factor is you have to single-handedly cost us winning multiple games.
All right.
And right now, we're winning too many games for Austin Hayes to somehow single-handedly cost multiple games.
Who's the closer that blew like three saves for the opening series?
Yeah, Kevin Gregg. And so that was
boo-worthy.
Right. And the third factor, and this is, I call the Chris Davis rule, if you're making enough money, if you signed enough money, preventing the team from going out and signing other people because you signed so much freaking money, what comes with a lot of money is more pressure and the right for me to boo you. So if Austin Hayes signed a $100 million contract in the offseason and was really bad, I would feel okay with booing him. I would be more okay with it.
Rules to boo.
Yeah, those are my three criteria to boo somebody. And sometimes something is so extreme that maybe one or two criterion could push me over the edge. But for the most part, I don't think I booed someone since Chris Davis. And I booed Chris Davis because I like Chris Davis, a good person, good human. But he took a lot of money and didn't do anything for the Orioles with all that money. And so I think it was okay. I think it was okay to boo him. And it might have hurt his feelings. And I'm sorry for that. But he can go, you know, use his $100 bills as tissue paper or whatever.
I think toilet paper is the word you're looking for.
Tissue paper? Kleenex? I was going for a Kleenex reference.
Okay.
So anyway, the Austin Hayes booing is ridiculous because he doesn't, you know, even one criterion on that is questionable. So the idea that you would boo Austin Hayes is redonkulous. The fact that you would boo anyone on this team is really ridiculous at this point because no one on this team makes any money. So it really can't boo anybody because they don't make any money yet. Maybe when we go out and sign somebody, actually, we could get some booing back. But yeah, so I just wanted to throw out my two cents there about the Austin Hayes nonsense that I saw happening. Josh, did the, going back to the Brewers series, did the DL Hall, Joey Ortiz, did you get any kind of buyer's remorse on that? I know Corbin Burns got the win too, and DL Hall struggled a little bit, but Joey Ortiz looked really good.
No, Ortiz looked good, but explain to me, if he was still an Oriole, where would he be?
Norfolk.
He'd be at Norfolk.
Yeah.
If D.L. Hall was still an Oriole, where would he be? Probably in the
bullpen.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm not concerned because I've seen Corbin Burns, what, four starts now? And he's put us in positions to win every time?
Yeah.
He does his part?
Okay.
So no remorse at all.
Even 1 year Corbin Burns, and they're going to have Hall and Ortiz for, you know, 100 years, still, whatever it is?
We still won the trade.
Won the trade.
At this point.
It's too early to tell. But yeah, at this point, I feel good about it. I'm feeling good about it. You see Ortiz play so well, and you're like, well, what if it was Norby? Could we trade Norby maybe instead of Ortiz? But either way, the dude's blocked. Where is Joey Ortiz playing for the Orioles? He's not playing second. He's not playing short. He's not playing third.
No, he's not on this team.
Sorry. Yeah. And again, the same is true right now with Norby, Mayo, and Kerstad. I'm sorry, Mayo, you're not playing third right now. Right. Westberg's there. But the good news is Westberg may retire soon. Oh, no, wait. Westberg,
what are you talking about?
Won't retire soon. And so Mayo, poor Mayo, will be 30 hitting bombs in Norfolk with nowhere to go.
How much fun was it this weekend to see, what was it, Kowser, Westberg, Holiday, then you wrap the lineup to Gunner, Rutschman, where you had five like guys in their first or second year, basically first couple of years, the whole future of Birdland right there in a row.
Yeah, they were showing like today they were having a stat on Madison and like hard hit ball. We were the only team with three of the top 14 hardest hitting position players or whatever, and they were all guys under 25 as well. So yeah, I mean, it's just, if you look at this lineup's going to be stacked like this year, next year, the year after, even if we don't do anything, like even if we don't re-sign anybody or do whatever, we're going to be stacked for the next 5 years just with who we have. It's wild. You lose Santander maybe, or Hayes a free agency, and you just replace him with Kerstad. What are you talking about here? You lose Mountcastle or something free agency, and you replace him with Mayo. Like, come on now. It's ridiculous the way this team is set up. You just got to make sure our pitching's there, and man, we're set to do well.
Yeah, and I'm not worried. I think we'll be okay.
No, there's nothing to worry about at this point. Nothing to worry about.
No. Now,
if there was, Josh, like a weakness on this team, what would you say? Well, like, what would be that weakness?
The weakness is the bullpen. It's still the bullpen. It'll all season. It'll be the bullpen, is what I'd say. But I was. But my question for you would be, what would be the biggest concern? Is there anything on this team? Is there one player that could get hurt and you get concerned? We've seen a lot of arm injuries this year in baseball. A lot of guys suddenly need Tommy John. Is this team, because I look at this team and I'm like, yes, there's lots of guys that losing them would hurt. But this team is so balanced, as you were saying, that there's not one arm that would destroy this team and destroy this season.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if you told me last year that one guy would be Felix Bautista, and now we don't have Felix Bautista.
Yeah. But we're starting the season without
that. I know. We had the offseason to address that. And maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. Time will tell. But position player-wise, like one would argue that Gunnar Henderson is our best position player.
Correct.
And if he went down, that'd be a huge blow. But then what would happen is Jackson Holliday would probably slide over to shortstop.
Yep.
And then maybe Connor Norby would slide in at second. Or Mateo, however you want to do that.
You're right, Mateo or Urias.
And this team would still be really good.
Yes.
You get a little concerned with catcher, just because catcher is a hard position.
Right.
To watch McCann back there every day would not be ideal. So that's if there's one position that lacked immediate AAA depth, that's the one that's position. Because Basalo is still, I think, a year away. So that would be the one area of concern. But in terms of pitching, no, I think it's bullpen, Coulomb maybe. I don't know. Like the bullpen, there's a lot of good players. There's no Bautista. Cano, I guess. Yennier Cano would be the one bullpen arm. If I had to choose one, I would hate to lose the most.
Right. But again, it doesn't destroy your team.
Right, which I think says more about, my argument would be more about there's no elite bullpen guys back there as much as there was last year. Starting pitching wise, if you look, I mean, the biggest blow in this team would be if you lost Rodriguez or Burns. That would be hard to overcome.
Is that hard to overcome? I don't know. It depends.
Oh, I think it would be.
It depends what Means and Bradish look like when they come back. Does it destroy your season? It sucks. But does it destroy your season? I'm not sure.
I mean, we were ready to roll this year up until, right before the season without Burns, right? With Hall in the bullpen, Ortiz not even the roster. And so, yeah. I mean, you could argue. I mean, I would think if that happens, Josh, if an injury happens to starting pitching, I can almost guarantee you that Elias is on the phone and we're going to make a trade for another starter.
I think so,
not tomorrow. I think we have to wait and see what Means and Bradish do.
Yes.
I think the point you're making, and this is the point I want to make, because it's a 162 game season, it's a long season, players will get hurt. This is inevitable. And I think the Orioles are better position players wise, but forget about it. Even pitching to a certain extent, I think because we have the ability to even make trades, we have better, chips to make trades than anybody else in baseball.
We do.
That so. We are in a position to withstand injuries more than other teams. And so if this turns into, with all the injuries this year, if this kind of trickles down and turns into some war of attrition, I think we're built out of depth and we're built in a position to make moves if we need to. So, yeah, I think this team has the makeup to withstand any injuries that come their way. And this team is built, for the long haul. I think that depth is a huge advantage, and I think it's going to be a big deal as we get into, the meat of the season.
Right,
and
right.
You see injuries, more injuries, and more injuries.
Yeah, we're still at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, we're just a couple weeks in. Absolutely.
So, and I know I said bullpen's the weakness. Bullpen looked great tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
Four different pitchers in there gave up five hits.
Yeah, I mean, Coulomb looks good. Cano looks good. Webb looks good.
Tate.
Dylan Tate looks good.
So.
Yeah, the only guy you kind of, I mean, Jonathan Heasley was sent down.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Johan Ramirez. But we'll see if that's just a temporary move. Mike Bauman's been a little bit inconsistent, so that's, you know, maybe reflect there. Keegan Aiken has pitched extremely well. Craig Kimbrell makes things a little bit, you know, more exciting than I would like sometimes, but he's been good. And so, yeah, I think I don't know how our bullpen, maybe we can look it up, how our bullpen stacks against the rest of baseball, but I bet our bullpen is in the upper half of all of baseball.
Yeah, I'd have to see. I'm not great at pulling up those stats. Let's see.
If only we had like a stat boy.
Yeah, I know. We got rid of that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? See.
I know.
Let's see who could find it first. The race is on.
I'm heading over to FanGraphs.
All right, I got it.
I got it too.
We're seventh.
Why do I have second?
And I'm looking at ERA. What stat are you looking at?
Oh, I just went to the dashboard overall. How's it sorted?
Okay, our ERA, and this is all American League.
I'm looking at WAR.
Okay. I'm looking at ERA, and we got a 3.26 ERA from our bullpen. First is the Guardians with 1.76. What's interesting is the first seven teams for top bullpen ERA are the Guardians, Tigers, Twins, Yankees, Athletics. Good for them.
What am I? Your stats, Mariners. You and I are looking. Your stats are better because I'm looking at 2023 stats.
Okay. I'm looking at 2024. Mariners, and then the Orioles are seventh. The first seven teams in terms of bullpen ERA are in the American League, and then the top team in the National League is the Nationals of all teams with 3.27. So the American League is crushing it in terms of the bullpen. And who's, and this is surprising, you never guess who's dead last in bullpen ERA.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, do you guess on your first guess? Did you just pull it up?
I have it right in front of me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. That's surprising.
I wouldn't guess that because we think of them as a team that's constantly developing pitchers.
They just find these pitchers anywhere. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, 3.19 ERA is outstanding.
Yeah. So. Now our starters rank 17th in all of baseball with a 4.19 ERA, and again, I think we're seeing like there's kind of two halves of our starting pitching staff, right? It's Kramer and Rodriguez and Burns, and then there's, I think, Wells and Irvin is kind of hurting our team ERA a little bit. And of course, Red Sox, a starting pitcher ERA of 1.92 is kind of wild with the Red Sox. So curious if they can hold that up. And the Yankees are fourth in starting pitching ERA without Garrett Cole, so that's kind of been wild too. So we'll see what happens there.
Those are all stats where, it's all pitching, and it's going to be interesting to see how pitching balances all that and how that continues as the season goes on with injuries and just...
And the Yankees haven't played the Orioles yet, so that's going to hurt their team starting pitching ERA when they play the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of looking at looking at baseball season 3 weeks in is there's no comparison. There's very little comparison of playing the same teams.
Yeah.
You know, like we've all played different teams. It's hard to compare the Yankees schedule versus the Orioles when you haven't played each other.
Yeah. And such a small sample size. And I mean, one of the beautiful things about baseball, and I know people want to freak out when we lose a series, but the reality of it is, like the Oakland Athletics have been playing really well to start the year. Like weird stuff happens over small sample sizes. And so, I don't know. I think sometimes we blow things out of proportion, but the reality of it is that any kind of small sample size, you're going to see bizarre things happening. I mean, I remember last year, everyone said, well, there's no team that could ever touch the Rays in the AL East after the first 2 months. Well, that didn't even take to the end of the year, right? To come midsummer, we were breathing down the Rays' necks. And so I think, it's good to kind of, I think you can – it's fun to kind of look at these storylines to start the season, but man, it reminds me of Buck Showalter, who talked about how, over 162 games, you're not going to fool anybody. You are going to be who your record is over 162 games. These kind of stuff evens out. And like I said, I think the Orioles are built for that long haul. So I think we're going to look up here in July, and I think we're going to like where we're sitting at. And I don't think if you look at other teams like, you know, I don't know, the Oakland Athletics, I don't think they're going to be sitting there around 500 in July. But we'll see what happens.
Oh, totally. And like I was just looking at our batting average, and we rank 16th as far as batting.
Uh-oh, Josh figured out how to look up stats. Yeah, here we go, people.
I've been playing on FanGraphs.
Yeah, like, our offense 16th, is great, right?
We think our offense is great and outstanding. We're right in the middle.
So well, home runs, we're near the top.
Well, that's what I was going to say. With batting average, we're right in the middle. But then you look at home runs, and let's see. We're near the top with home runs. It's not resetting. With home runs, we're number 4. With runs, we're
who's
up
ahead of us? How many home runs we got?
We have 23 home. We have 21 home runs.
That's fake news. We got 24 now, Josh. That's not including today's game.
All right. Well, the Padres have 23, the Brewers have 23, and the Dodgers have 25. So that might move us up.
We're in second now. Okay.
All right. Do you know who is at the very bottom of batting average?
Who?
The team we just played, the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, yeah. Look at their lineup. Everyone was hitting 100.
Yeah. They got a team average of 185.
Okay. Do you know the one team stat for the Orioles, though, that I find a bit odd and maybe concerning?
The strikeout rate? It's like 21%?
No, but close.
All right. What is it?
Josh, did you know we are dead last in baseball in an important statistical category, offensive category? And I would think for a Michael Elias team, this would not be the case.
Was it like Babbitt or something?
Walks.
Oh yeah, we have not seen many walks.
Dead last in all of baseball with 42 walks. Isn't that surprising when you think that you have Adley, who has a really good eye?
Well, you look at a guy like Jackson Holliday, who what was the one thing we heard about him all the time? He has a good eye.
His walk strikeout rate is like equal.
He's swinging at everything right now.
Oh, stop it. He's not swinging at everything.
He is. He's pressing. But like you said at the beginning, he's getting really good pitches. Yeah, really tough pitches.
Yeah, but we have 42 walks and 103 strikeouts. That's kind of wild that we have the fewest walks in all of baseball.
7%.
Okay, Josh is on Fangraphs over there. I'm just on MLB.com, so I can't get the detailed stats that you can. But that 7%, is that the worst percentage in baseball too?
It is. Correct.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, it's not where I would have put us. Offensive war, we're 10th in baseball. Now, we probably went up after all those home runs today and crushed it today.
Josh, here's another stat I'm about to blow your mind, all right? We have the fewest walks in baseball, right?
Okay.
Who on this team has the most walks on the Orioles?
I would say Anthony Santander.
No. Santander has only walked 2 times.
Adley Rutschman.
No, he's only walked 5 times.
Austin Hayes.
No.
Cedric Mullins.
Nope.
Colton Cowser.
Nope.
Jordan Westbrook.
Nope. All right. You never guess. It'd be the last guy. Nope.
Jorge Mateo.
Nope. He plays first base. Free swinger.
Oh, Ryan Mountcastle?
Ryan Mountcastle.
That would have been my last pick.
Yeah. A walk, 7 walks, 10 strikeouts. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
But leads the team in walks. Ryan Mountcastle. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, it's a third of all the walks we have.
Yeah, right? It's kind of wild.
You say we had 21 walks or something?
No, we have 42.
All right, so never mind.
A seventh or whatever it is, six.
Yeah, six.
Yeah, we knew math over here.
All right. That's the most stats we've had in a show in a while.
Yeah, but it's kind of wild. And so I don't think at the end of the season we're going to look at Ryan Mountcastle having the most walks on the team or the Orioles being dead last in walks.
Correct.
It's just it's interesting because our offense is humming, I feel like, and we're not walking either. So something to watch out for.
Yeah. Can I also say I love these 6:30 starts?
Yeah, me too. I'm
the fact that the game's already over tonight. These are great.
Yeah. I mean, our schedule is kids get home from school. We hang out, do stuff. eat dinner. You just go play outside until 6:30. Then we come in and watch the baseball game. That's what we did today. And it's just it makes the whole evening flow nicely,
right?
As opposed to just hanging around till 7.
Right. Now next week we have some games in LA, so we're gonna have some 10 o'clock games.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I'll tell you what, I don't mind the 10 o'clock starts.
Yeah. There's something appealing. Because you can get all the kids to bed, and
you get all the kids to bed at that time. You can even get the wife to bed, and then you're just, let me watch baseball. So it's cool. I like the 6:30 games because you can watch them with the kids, and I like the 10 o'clocks because it's my time.
Yeah. No, I buy that. I agree with you until about midnight, and then I'm like, I don't know if I can stay awake for this.
My favorite is West Coast games on the weekends.
Yeah. Yeah, give me a Friday 10 o'clock start. Yes. Though, I don't know. It doesn't really affect me because I'm up at freaking 6:30 with these kids anyway. Yeah, it doesn't matter. In fact, work days are easier days than the weekends, actually. But Josh, I just got the email from the Boo Bay Sox. The email from the Boo Bay Sox. Cobb Bradish, I got the code for a discount to Cobb Bradish's rehab start on Tuesday, tomorrow.
I've got that email as well.
Yeah, he does. Hey,
so if you want a $10 box seat, the code is Bradish.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing
Cobb
that.
Bradish.
But I am coming down this weekend to see the Jumbo Shrimp play the Norfolk Tides. So I haven't seen the Norfolk Tides play. Wait, have I ever seen the Norfolk Tides play? I may have never watched Norfolk Tides play.
Norfolk is the one minor league stadium I have not been to for the Orioles.
I have not been there. And they went to Gwinnett last year, but we got tickets and went, and it rained out. So I actually don't think I've ever seen the Norfolk Tides play. I know I've never seen them play at home, but I don't think I've even seen them play away before. So, yeah. And I haven't been to a Jumbo Shrimps game either, but Sass and I are going to make the drive down and
I'm curious to see what you think of this stadium, because I think for a minor league stadium, I think it might be the best minor league stadium I've ever been to.
Oh, really? Because I think that about where the Gwinnett Stripers play.
And it might just be that the Orioles minor league stadiums stink. And it might
I think that's true. I think that's true.
I think that might be it. It's like, I went here and I'm like, oh, these are outstanding games.
I think the newest stadium I've been to, which was pretty nice, was the Fredericksburg, I think, the Fredericksburg Nats. The oldest and crappiest stadium I've been to
was the Marva Shorebirds.
No. And they actually did some.
Did they do some renovations?
They have a cool little boardwalk that goes around the entire outfield, which is kind of cool.
All right. Last time I was there, it was just concrete and it was like a step up from high school.
Oh, yeah. It's gotten a lot better. I mean, I hope Adam Pohl's not listening, but I don't think Bowie Bay Sox is a nice stadium either. That's not nice.
No. Bay Sox, it's just an older stadium.
Yeah.
There's something I always talk about the magic of baseball is the fields and how every field has something magical and something different in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of minor leagues and stadiums like the Bay Sox is just a plain, boring stadium.
I mean, my kids love the freaking carousel over there. So that's something they got going on.
All right, they got the carousel.
Yeah, but no, the Richmond Flying Squirrels. That's the worst stadium I've been to for a minor league game. Okay. That's the worst.
What are you? When are you coming down?
I gotta wait and see what my work schedule is. I want to come down. I'm coming down Friday.
All right.
My plan is to go to Friday night game.
All right.
And the Saturday night game.
That's my plan as well.
I'm trying to get Sass out of school early, and because about a 4-hour drive, and leave work early. I just got some work stuff. Figure out the timing of to see if I can get Sass out of school early, but I'm gonna leave as early as I can on Friday.
Saturday night is Jumbo Shrimp hockey jersey giveaway.
Oh, nice!
So that could be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Tide are there all week. I don't know if anyone else, if we have any other podcast listeners down here in North Florida, but if so, let us know and come hang out with us on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. Get to see. Hopefully Mayo and Kerstad and Stowers and Norby in person and hit some bombs. That's where I'm going.
Man, the Tide play tomorrow at 11:05. Maybe I need to work from the ballpark.
It's early game. Yeah, the Orioles have a Wednesday 1 o'clock start, I saw.
That's always a nice one.
Get away. Yeah. All right. Ready to wrap this thing up?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's hope the Orioles continue to dominate over the Twins this week. And then we'll see the future even more this weekend.
Yeah. I'm just, Josh went the whole episode without mentioning the new Homer host, so that's a win as well.
It would be called
Hydration Station.
And I'll tell you, if you want to know my thoughts on it, I like it. I need to get an updated shirt, but I cannot wait to see a Grand Slam hit and see all four guys chugging from the hose.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
I love that they've got four tubes, so if you're on base, you get a chance to party too.
Yeah, and what you need is a shirt that had that sticker. What did that sticker say, like helping each other or something with a couple people using the Homer hose?
I don't know what you're talking about. I just saw the sticker on the Homer hose thing that said the Homer Hydration Station.
Okay, there's another sticker.
Which I assume they put that sticker on to say, don't call it a beer bong. We're good.
Yeah, even though if you looked, someone was spreading on YouTube, there was a clip from... He went, Ryan O'Hearn's giving high fives in the dugout, and clearly someone's talking about the dong bong.
Get the dong bong out?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But no, there's a sticker talking about how helping each other or something that you got to check out. That would make a good t-shirt.
Well, that'll make its way onto a t-shirt, I'm sure. I am behind on my t-shirt work. I have a Kowser shirt from last season, but I've got multiple designs just sitting on my computer half done. Let's see. So Kowser needs one, and whatever that is, I will get that shirt out as well.
Yeah. Do you have a Kowser t-shirt with something about cows or mooing or something?
Yeah, I've got a Holy
Milkman.
I've got a Holy Kowser shirt with a cowbell currently up there.
Okay.
And I have a Milkman shirt on its way, as well as a shirt for kids that's partially done, that is an actual cow playing baseball. As a celebration of Colton Kowser.
All right, cool.
So that is how I am handling that. But yes, I've got to find the teamwork sticker, and then I will get that signed and put on a shirt as well.
Yeah, that's cool. And you can, check out all Josh's shirt updates at Birdland Sports. You can follow us on all your social media platforms. I just pulled up our Instagram. We're at 336 followers, so I'm not sure if we want to mess with that 336 followers.
On what?
On Instagram.
On Instagram. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know we don't frequent Instagram.
We never mention Instagram.
I know. We have an Instagram page, though. But we got 336 followers on there.
I found the teamwork sticker, and that will be making its way onto an Orioles shirt ASAP before someone else.
Yeah. And you can also follow us, of course, on Facebook. And X and TikTok. We're on all those platforms. You can follow me on X at Section 336. You can follow Josh on X
at Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.